Well, I guess we're in time for a good long preaching. Amen. Open your Bible. John chapter 21, Revelation chapter 1. John chapter 21, Revelation chapter 1. By the way, if you're visiting, I was just joking about long preaching. Didn't want you to get up and leave before I get through preaching. We usually cut off an hour, hour and a half, something like that anyway. John chapter 21, Revelation chapter 1. Keep your finger in Revelation today. And John chapter 21, you can release that after we read it. And then I want to go to two other places. And then the rest of it's going to be all confined to Revelation this morning. John was a very unique person. John wrote, he was able to write five books of the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of John, what we call the Gospel of John that we're reading from right now. Then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Then he wrote the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible. John was unique where he was an apostle. And one of 12 apostles, and of course one, Judas, that was a devil from the beginning, went out and hung himself. And the disciples voted Matthias to replace him, but God picked Paul to be an apostle out of due time to the Gentiles. Now, John was a unique person. The Bible says several things. It never refers to John by his name in the book. It always refers to him as the disciple that Jesus loved. The Bible also talks about Jesus loving, or John loving Jesus. But the Bible teaches us that John had a very, very unique thing. He had a love, a godly love. John was a type of what the church is to be, in where we are to have a unique love. The Bible said the most important thing that we have, faith, hope, and charity, these three, and the greatest of these is charity. Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Above all things, put on charity. The Bible tells us, for the love of God, for the Holy Spirit of God has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. In Romans 5:5. Romans chapter 8, the last two verses, tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. God loves us as a church. The Bible says Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. He loves us with such a love, we all love him back. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. When we discovered the love of God through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we fell in love with God through Christ. The fact that for God so loved the world, we recognize that we were sinners and we didn't deserve his love, for he loved us while we were yet sinners, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But yet we didn't realize that until we come to being awakened by the Holy Spirit of God of our lost condition, and we saw that Christ died for us. We were able to be saved. Therefore, the Bible says the things that how people ought to be able to tell that you are his disciples is because you love one another. In a church, there should not be any big I's and little U's. We're all sheep. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. Nobody's any more important than anybody else. If you're saved, you're saved because of God's grace, not because of who you are and what you are. Amen. And so therefore, what you need to understand is we're all on level ground with God. If you've been saved, you owe it all to him. It's not because of your works. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. So therefore, John was a type of us. Now John, we're going to read here in a moment, John was the only one of the apostles that was not martyred. That means he was killed. John was the only one of them that Jesus didn't allow to be killed. He allowed him to live until he came back and showed him something that was going to happen in the future. What was and is to be. And so therefore, that's where the book of Revelation came from, the vision that was given to John. Now, knows he would, Jesus just got through telling Peter how he was going to die. He's going to have to be led away around and so forth in his old age and so forth, and some things are going to happen, and he told some things that was going to take place. Then, the Bible says in verse number 20, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on the breast at supper, said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? In other words, Lord, if that's what's going to happen to me when I get old and going to die, what's going to happen to John? Now notice in verse 22, Jesus saying unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He said, now, Peter, you want to know when he's going to die, how he's going to die? Because Peter was a little jealous of John. John laid his head upon the breast of Jesus, and he loved Jesus, and the disciples were a little jealous. And now, so Peter said, well, how's he going to die? Jesus said, if he tarries till I come, that's nothing to you. You just follow me. And so look at verse 23. Notice this. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not what? Die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is a disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. In other words, he says, Jesus said, I didn't say he wasn't going to die. I said, but what if he tarries till I come? Now, what he did was he was prophesying that that John was going to be alive when he come back and showed him some things that's going to take place. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. A lot of people misunderstand the book of Revelation. They get so confused. And the book is fairly simple. There's a lot of things we won't know on it, but it's simple to understand when you understand what was taking place. And we're going to read a couple of important verses, so stay with me. Verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must what? Shortly come to pass, and he sent and he signified it by his angel unto his servant who? John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now look, notice verse 3. Some people says, well, Revelation is so scary, I don't think I need to read it. But look in verse 3 what the Bible says. Blessed is he that what? Readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is what? At hand. When Jesus died, buried, resurrected, went up to heaven, come back, stayed upon the earth 40 days talking to his disciples, ascended back up, made the promise that he would come back. In John chapter 14, he looked at his disciples and he said this. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He told his disciples he's coming again for them. Now, get this in your mind, and I want you to understand that from the moment that Jesus left the last time, we are living in the last days. You say it's been 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years of the last day waiting for Jesus to come back. He's coming back. When? We don't know. But we do have signs and other things like that. But now also, Paul, in writing the epistles, was able to tell us in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 9, they saw that Jesus was going to be born, and he was going to die, and then a period of time was going to pass, and he was going to come back. It's the vision of the 70 weeks in Daniel. I don't want to get in that today. But the Old Testament saints saw that one day Jesus would come back. We call it his second coming to the earth, and he would regain things on the earth. But Paul said there's going to be a coming back that people refer to as the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but it means be caught up, caught away. Now, remember, John was a type of the church. God, Lord loved him, he loved him. And so, look if you would, in verse number 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. Talking about Jesus. And from the seven spirits that are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice verse 7. Behold, he what? Cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So here, John writing, he goes back to the book of Malachi, and the Malachi prophesied that Israel would see him whom they have pierced, and they would wail when they saw him coming. And it would be fearful for them because they had rejected Jesus as their Messiah. Now, before I go any further, let me go and read, and now I'll cover something else. Look on, if you would, in verse number 8. He says, Jesus speaking, says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus said, I was, I am, and I am to come. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior. Who is Jesus? He's God. Look in verse number 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Now, Patmos was an old rocky prison that they would send prisoners to, and they would put them and exile them in prison. So instead of John dying like the other apostles, he was sent over there. Now, most people believe that he was around the age of 90 when he wrote this revelation, and when he saw these visions and was able to see that. Now remember, Jesus told them, what is it if he tarries till I come? Well, now Jesus has come back and relating some things to John on this island of Patmos, this rocky crag of a place that we call prison. We relate a lot to what we know here in America as what the old Alcatraz used to be, an island away where nobody could get off. Now look on, if you would, just a little bit more in verse number 10. Notice this is important. He says, I was in the Spirit on the what? On the Lord's Day. In other words, first day of the week, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. That's Jesus speaking. And what thou seest, write in a book and send into the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. And write these things which I have seen, and the things which are, and the things which are which shall be hereafter. So somebody said, what does the book of Revelation do? It reveals Jesus, who he was, what he did then, and that he's coming afterwards, and what's going to happen afterwards. Now, remember that he talked about these seven churches. I'm not going to spend time on this. Just if you're not a very studied person in the book of Revelation, I want you to understand this. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 that deals with the churches, not only deals with seven particular churches, but they represent the church age. The only one that talks about apostles was the first one, Church of Ephesus. The last church age is Church Laodicea. It's going to be a time when we're going to have great big buildings, big congregations and all those things, but they're not going to be in spirit in the churches. In other words, they're going to be dead churches. And when you read chapters 2 and chapter 3, he deals with all seven churches, and they represent a continual church age and what's going to happen from the time Jesus left until he comes back. When he comes back, what's he going to find in the church age? Now, just like John, there'll be some in the church still alive. They'll be saved when he comes back. Keep your finger in Revelation. Go with me two places, and I'll show you that, and then we'll get back to this real quickly. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most of these are familiar verses. If you've been around the Bible much and much preaching. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul deals an awful lot with resurrection and what a resurrected body is going to be like and certain things about the resurrection. But there's two verses I want to point out real quickly to you, and I want you to get this. Notice if you would in verse number 50, or 51 rather. He said, "Behold, I show you what? A mystery." Now, a mystery in the Bible is not something we can't figure out. It's something that has never been shown before. And Paul says, now I'm going to tell you something that the Old Testament people didn't understand. I'm going to show you a mystery. Look what the mystery is. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all what? Sleep, but we shall all be changed." In other words, he said, we're not all going to be dead when Jesus comes back. When he comes back, he's coming back and he's going to catch some people alive. There's going to be some saved people still walking on the earth. Just as John was alive, he was only one of the apostles still alive when Jesus come back here after he's resurrected. And he talked to him about the book of Revelation. And there he prophesied that over in John chapter 20. When Peter was talking to him, that's what Jesus was talking about. He's going to tarry till I come. And he did. Now, he also says there are going to be some of us. It may be us, it may be those after us. But some who are saved is going to be on the earth when Jesus comes back. Look on, if you would, in verse 52. It said, verse 51 said, "Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." In other words, he says, when that happens, what's going to happen is there's going to be a trump. We're going to be changed, a twinkle of an eye. Somebody says, how quick is that? Well, it's quicker than a blink. So you need to understand. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we're going to get back to Revelation and stay there the rest of the day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Many of these last two verses that I've read, a portion of Scripture, is Scripture that you hear at funerals. The reason why you hear it at funerals, it gives people hope. Now, in Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonica that this book was written to, they were concerned with some things that Paul had wrote. They were worried about Jesus coming, and they were worried about their loved ones that had died, what was going to happen to them. Look, if you would, in verse 13, what Paul says, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." In other words, he said, listen, if you had someone who died that was saved, that's died in the Lord, don't worry about them. They're going to come back with Jesus when he comes. Now those in verse 15. He says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." In other words, he said, we're giving you something you've never heard before, but it come from God. He said, "We give you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now this is not the second coming where he comes to Mount of Olives and he comes to the earth. This is the time when he comes in the clouds. And this is the next prophetic event that's going to happen. Now, look in verse 18. He says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now, this morning, turn back in Revelation if you would. This morning I want to give you five things that John, being a type of the church, he saw when he was raptured that we see when we are raptured. And I know that the Bible doesn't use the word rapture. But when we are caught away, when this time happens, if we are alive and we are saved, what's going to happen? The Bible says in a twinkle of an eye, the graves are going to burst open. for those who are saved. They're going to be reunited. The soul's going to come back with Jesus. They're going to be reunited with the body. They're going to go up, and those of us who are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together in the air. Now, notice you would in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. That's the church age. Now, what happens immediately after the church age happens? Right now, you would not be much of a Bible student if you did not believe that we were living in a church age of Laodicea. Read it sometime and study it and find out for yourself. The church of Laodicea means it was a church that was worldly. It was one that didn't think they had need of nothing, and they didn't know how wretched and poor and blind they really was. Now, that describes most of what we're seeing in our daytime, in our time. Now, in understanding that, you also understand what happens at the end of the church age. Somewhere, somehow, sometime. I don't know if it's going to be daylight. I don't know if it's going to be dark. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime. I don't know if it's going to be in your lifetime. I don't know if it's going to be today. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. Somewhere, sometime, everybody's going to be doing what they're doing. That quick. Trump, shout, gone. And then the consequences of what remains on the earth. Somebody said, I don't believe he's coming. That's not going to prevent him from coming. Somebody said, well, I'll get right with God. You need to get back in 2 Thessalonians, read chapter 2, read verses 11 through 14 and find out this. Anyone who has heard the word of God and rejected it shall be damned when he comes. God's going to send you a strong delusion and you're going to believe a lie. You're not going to be saved. The Bible says all shall be damned, not most of you. If you die, if Jesus comes back and you're not saved and you've reached that age of accountability and you're left behind, you're damned. No hope. You say, well, how do I know when he's coming? You don't. Not even the angels in heaven knows when he's coming. But he's coming.
That's right.
Now, so there will be some alive and remain when he comes. Now, let me show you five things real quickly, and I won't keep you, but I want you to stay with me. Look, if you would, in chapter 4. After the church age, John represents the church and what's going to happen to the church and knows what happens. In verse number 1, he says this. After this, after the church age, remember he was showing you what was with Jesus, what is with Jesus, which is church age, and what is to be hereafter, after the church age. He says, and after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, let me say this. After we read right here, the church is never again seen in the book of Revelation until chapter 19. Somebody said, oh, I'm afraid, take the social security number, I'm afraid it might be the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast has no bearing upon the church. Nobody in the church that's saved in the church age right now will ever have to face the mark of the beast and worry about taking the mark of the beast. That's to happen after we're gone. And so when you find in chapter 13 the mark of the beast in Revelation, the church is not here. We're gone. We leave right here after church age. Look in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were what? Remember what Paul said was going to happen in Corinthians and Thessalonians? We were going to hear what? A trumpet. And talking with me, which said what? Come up hither. When we hear the trumpet, it's going to say, boom, come. We're going to go. It says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which it must be hereafter. So John was taken that quick through a door in heaven, up in heaven. And immediately I was in the what?
Spirit.
And behold, a throne was set in heaven and one on the throne. In other words, what John was doing was, the first thing that John did when he was caught up in heaven was this. He saw a throne, and he saw him who sat upon the throne. You know the first thing happened to John when he went up to heaven? Somebody said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this. Can I tell you the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? You're going to see the one that saved you by his grace. You know the first thing John saw when he was caught up? The Lamb of God. He saw everybody in heaven worshiping the Lamb of God. Somebody said, oh, a preacher, I believe that I can't wait to see my grandma and grandpa and so forth. I believe Paul. Listen, the first thing you'll see that will have your attention will be the Lamb of God. The first thing John saw when he was called up is Lamb of God. We've seen him by faith so far, Linda. But if it happened right now, the first thing we'd all see is not each other. We'd see him. And so here the Bible says that John said, I was caught up. I heard a trumpet. It said, come up hither, and I was gone in the spirit. I was gone that quick. Now he goes on in chapter 4 and 5, and I'm not going to take time this morning, but read it yourself. He talks about what he saw there when he saw the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now the second thing he realized was this. He saw his place. He saw his home. Now, Brother Junior read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the scripture said that I had not seen, neither ear heard, neither had entered in the heart of man, the things that God had prepared. Listen, you want to know how good heaven is? You think you've got a vision of heaven? You can't even begin to imagine what heaven's like. Amen. The thing that John saw when he caught up, he saw the Lamb of God. You know what else he saw? He saw heaven, his home, our home. You know what you're going to see when you get up, caught up? You're going to see heaven. And all the things that you've imagined, gates of pearl, streets of gold, all the things that you think that you have figured out, you've not even begun to imagine how beautiful heaven's going to be. You know why? The Bible says it's not even entering your heart and mind. You don't have the ability. Paul was the only one who got to go up and see, other than John, got to go up and see and come back. And John said, or Paul said, I can't utter words. They're unutterable. In other words, I can't find the words to describe what I saw when I went up there. But my friend, let me tell you this. As wonderful as heaven's going to be, hell's going to be just that terrible. Your mind cannot imagine what it'd be like to die and go there. So understand how important it is to go to heaven. So the next thing that we find that John saw was he saw heaven and things in heaven. Look, if you would, in chapter 5, real quickly, at Revelation. He saw something else. Then the Bible says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God. Now, who do you think they're talking to? The Lamb of God. Who's the Lamb of God? Jesus, who was slain and shed his blood for us, and redeemed us to God. He said, By thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now, let me say this. Somebody said, Who can be saved? Whosoever will can be saved. You'll have no excuse if you die without salvation. Jesus died for you just like he died for me. But you have to make that decision just like I had to make that decision. But the Bible says, John said, when I saw, not only did I see the Lamb of God, not only did I see heaven, but he said, then I heard people singing. And by the way, you need to mark this down. You don't go join an angel choir. The angels are not the ones singing. It's the redeemed. Look on. He said in verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 times, saying, now notice they weren't singing, they were saying, with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth, the sea. And he goes on to describe that. Now, also, if you look, let me find it real quickly. Later on in chapter 7, turn over there real quickly. And The angels that stood in verse number 11, and all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and four beasts and before the throne, the faces, and saying, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered and saying to me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? Who are the ones in white robes? The ones singing a new song. And whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they that came out of the great tribulation, have a what? Washed their robes and made them white. How? In the blood of a lamb. That's not angels. That's those of us who are saved. And he goes on, he talks about that. So the third thing that you're going to see is this. You're going to see all the saints that have died in Christ. You say, do you believe you're going to see some of your grandparents? I've got a dad that's gone on. I believe I'm going to see him. But I'll say this. There's a lot of people that we think we're going to see that's not going to be there. There's a lot of people that got preached in funerals, oh, he's up in heaven, and he's not in heaven. Only those that have washed their robes in the blood of Jesus. You have to be saved to go to heaven. Amen. Not because you're good, there's none good, no, not one. If you go to heaven, it'll be because Jesus, not because who you are. And so what have you done with Jesus? But thank God we are going to have a glad reunion day one day. We will see our loved ones. You'll get to see your husband, Gene. If he was saved, and I believe he was, if he was saved, you'll get to see him. I think I'll see my dad. If he was saved, I'll see him. I hope he was saved. He preached for 47 years. I hope he was saved. And I believe in my heart that he was. I hope to see you. You hope to see me, I hope. But you only see each other if we are saved. But when we get to heaven and when that rapture happens, that catching away happens, we're going to see the saints. And we're going to hear a song. And we're going to join in song. And we're going to sing a new song. We're going to all get to heaven. And man, are we going to sing. And when we gather around the river, and when it talks about singing in the river, that one song, it's not talking about rivers down here, baptism. It's talking about singing by the river of life. Singing a new song. Lifting up. That's what John got to see. That's the moment we get called away. If we got called away right now, we would see these things. Two more things real quickly. I'll cover them real quick. Stay with me. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 21, real quickly. Revelation chapter 21. When I told you I was going to preach for an hour, I didn't know I really was. Chapter 21, real quickly. Joking, just stay with me. Verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven, first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And so he said, and he said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven, prepared as bride, adorned for a family. And he goes on, he says in verse number 4, he said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more what? Death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In other words, John said, not only did I see heaven, not only did I see the Lamb of God, not only did I see other saints, he said, I got to see a new heaven, new earth, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, none of those. Now, last but not least, chapter 22, and I'm going to end right here. Chapter 22. John also knew one more thing that he understood. Look, if you would, in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say what? In verse 17, chapter 22, the Spirit and bride said what? Come. And let him that heareth say what? Come. And let him that is athirst what? Come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That means you. If you want to be saved, God, the Spirit of God, draw on your heart, you need to step out and be saved. He said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the book of this prophecy. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. In other words, you can't change what's written in the book. You say, I don't like it. It don't matter. It's there. Forever thy word is settled in heaven, O Lord. You cannot change the word of God. Look at verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. In other words, he said, I'll take your name out of the book of life. I'll take you. You will not go to heaven. And if you try to take away things out of this, he said, what it is, it is. Look at verse 20. He which testifies these things saith what? This is Jesus speaking, says what? Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now listen, let me say this. The last thing that John had that the church had is this. He had a knowledge that Jesus was coming soon. Listen up. We sing this song, Jesus is coming soon. I sing that all the time. We sung that. He's not coming. Sometime, someday, some moment. You may be in bed. You may be driving. You may be walking. You may be sitting in church. I don't know when, where, when. When he comes, those who are alive, those who are saved, gone. Those who are left, damned. You say, will anybody be saved? Yes. There'll be a preaching, there'll be people saved, but it won't be you if you reject the gospel message. You say, how do you know? Because it says plainly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And what's written? Written. Let me ask you this. One simple question, and Brother Porter's going to sing. If this very moment, this moment, the trump, the shout, and the catching away, would you be gone? Or would you still be sitting here believing a lie of what has just transpired? Let's get a song, Brother Porter. You say, Brother Billy, I'm not saved. God's dealing my heart about being saved this morning. He's bidding me to come and receive Christ. Maybe you need to